Morning, we're going to look at the theme, the recovery of a runaway. And our text is found over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. A very interesting study. Maybe we can bring some light to this man, John Mark, that you've never heard before. But Paul is writing to Timothy. And he says there in the fourth chapter, verse 11, get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Now, the statements found in our text contain amazing words coming from Paul's pen regarding this man, John Mark. Notice again, get Mark. Bring him with you. He is helpful to me. And in those statements, we have the truth that defeat need not be fatal. The fallen can be lifted. The runaway can be restored. Now that's the truth that we glean as we study the life of this man, Mark. And that truth ought to give hope to each and every one of us here in the sanctuary today. There's not much mention about Mark upon the pages of the New Testament, but in the scattered verses about him, we find a life that is characterized by opportunity, excitement, pity, failure, and reinstatement. As a matter of fact, we may divide Mark's life into four different phases. A beautiful start, a miserable failure, a glorious recovery, and a remarkable success. And as you and I this morning listen to the story of Mark the runaway, be sure to catch not only the stern warnings given to each and every one of us, but also the splendid encouragement of knowing that a man who has failed may come back to God. You could be here today, on this Sunday, in this sanctuary, and you've come to this church and you say, Pastor Reg, I'm a defeated man. I need to get victory. I'm not the husband that I should be. I'm not the wife that I should be. I'm not the teacher that I should be. And I need direction. I need help. Well, Mark did. And God is right there waiting to help each and every one of us. So I want you to consider, first of all, as we study the life of Mark, that we have the misfortune of retreat. Now, you have to take your Bibles and leave our text and go with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12. And we are first introduced to John Mark in Acts chapter 12, verse 12, where his mother's house was used as a gathering place for those early Christians. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 12, we read the words, when this had dawned on Peter, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. And then I want you to go down a little further in the chapter and notice the words found in verse 25. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. And then go to the next chapter, chapter 13, verse 5. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. Now notice the very interesting statement. Mark was with them as their helper. Now here we find Paul and Barnabas being sent off on their missionary journey. And they needed a helper, one to assist them in baptism and to help with the new converts. Barnabas suggested to Paul that John Mark, his cousin, would be an excellent helper in the work. So they took this young man with them on their first missionary trip to Cyprus. At first, John Mark seemed to enjoy the adventure. He was excited about visiting new places, seeing new people, sharing new experiences, and beholding new converts as they came to Christ. All of this was thrilling to Mark. A new experience. But after a period of time, something started to trouble him. He was bothered by hearing Paul and Barnabas talk about taking the gospel into the barbarous nations of Asia Minor. And that was too dangerous for him. So after the fighting within his inner soul, he left Paul and Barnabas to carry on the work without him. In other words, he abandoned his post. He quit when the going got tough. He let his older companions go on alone without him. Now, the question arises, why did he desert those two missionaries? And the answer is, we really don't know. Maybe Mark deserted them because he was homesick and he wanted to go back to Jerusalem. Or perhaps he was afraid of going into unknown and wild territory, those heathen Gentile countries. Or perhaps it was because of racial pride and prejudice as he saw heathen Gentiles become Christians as they gave their hearts to Christ. Whatever the reason for Mark's retreat, the fact remains that he deserted his duty when his two older companions needed him most. You and I need to be very careful this morning that we do not judge him too harshly. For all of us, at some period within our lives, have run away from the task that God has called us to do. And like Mark, we have deserted the service, that place of responsibility. Search your own heart today. Look within your own soul. And we must admit, on the side of honesty, that Mark is a prototype of each and every one of us. We started the Christian life well. We were sincere, energetic, enthusiastic for the risen Christ. We had a vision of accomplishment for Christ and achievement in his kingdom. And then something happened. We were criticized. We were not appreciated. We couldn't have our own way. So we abandoned ship. We left the church. We left the post. We retreated and allowed others to carry on the work. And there we are, like Mark of yesterday, running away and retreating from responsibility. And there you have Mark's failure. And that's where we find him. But let us go on. As we study the life of Mark, we behold not only the misfortune of retreat, but also in the second place, the mandate to repent. Now, we know this happened because of Paul's invitation to Mark in the words of our text as found over there in 2 Timothy that you have in your Bible right before you. Notice what it says in chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says, "Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." Now, I want you to note that repentance always precedes restoration. Let's go back and look at Mark. He retreated back to Jerusalem, back to the city that he loved and to the comfort of home. But as he gathered with other believers for worship and instruction, they realized that Mark was not himself. He was not happy. He seemed to be detached from what was going on around him. He couldn't get interested. Now, what was Mark's problem? Well, it was this. He couldn't get away from the shame of being a runaway from duty and the haunting regrets that he had within his inner soul of leaving those two older missionaries, Paul and Barnabas. And in reality, he was running away, not from them, but Jesus himself. I want to tell you something about Jesus. Jesus is the one who can catch up with a runaway. He can track him down. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "I am come to seek and to save that which is lost." And Mark had lost his way. And as he thought about it, the Holy Spirit began to convict him about his refusing of responsibility. You see, my dear friend, when you and I who profess to be Christians are living outside of the will of God, it's the Holy Spirit of God that is going to convict us. He's going to convict our conscience of the sin that we have committed. And this is precisely what happened to Mark. And this is what happened to Peter that I spoke about last Sunday. We read this of Peter in Mark chapter 14, verse 72. "And when he thought of this, he wept." As someone has put it, reflection gives rise to repentance. Given time to reflect and think about something that we have said, something that we have done, in many cases, but not certainly in all cases, there comes about the spirit of repentance. And we turn around and we go in a different direction. The telephone rang at a church office. A lady's voice on the other end asked to speak to the minister. Since he was away, she asked where he could be reached so that she could write to him. About a week later, the minister received a letter of apology as she asked to be forgiven for some unkind and unchristian things that she had said of him and about him to others. Now, what do we have here? Here we have a guilt-ridden woman whose conscience led to remorse, and which remorse led to repentance. While being discipled by another spirit-filled Christian lady, the verses of Holy Scripture, and they do, and the working of the Spirit of the living God, and he does, and the forgiving mercy of Christ began to touch her broken and beaten soul. And from mere remorse, just sorrow, came genuine repentance. And now for the first time in several years, she felt clean, forgiven, liberated. And that inner peace that only Christ can give, a reconciled child of his. And it comes to all of us when we come to the place that we are humbly willing to ask forgiveness and make restitution. Now, though Mark's failure was different, and it was, that same experience of humble confession and repentance came to Mark and to this lady, and it must come to all of us if we ever want to come to the place for God to use us and be the type of Christian that God would have us to be. Now, there you have Mark, John Mark, as we see him from two different views. The misfortune of retreat, and yet the mandate to repent. But let me turn your attention now to a third view of Mark that we ought to look at, and that is the miracle of recovery. The miracle of recovery. To get the interesting background of what took place, I want you to take your Bibles, and I hope you have your Bible. That's why we ask you to bring them. If you don't have one, there's one right there in the pew. But take your Bible and turn with me to Acts chapter 15. And I want you to note the words found in verses 36, 37, and 38, where we read these words. "Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.'" Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, notice now, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia, and he had not continued with them in the work. And then we read in verses 39 through 41 these words. They had a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now let's get the background here. 2 years before, Barnabas and Paul were going on their first missionary trip. Now 2 years had passed. Paul suggested to Barnabas that they should revisit the churches they established on their first missionary trip in order to strengthen them. Immediately, Barnabas decided that he wanted to take John Mark with him because he correctly saw in Mark a spirit of confession and repentance. But I would have you to note that Paul said no. He realized that Mark was made of good material, missionary material, but he wasn't ready. He needed more time before he ventured out. He needed more discipline, according to Paul, after his restoration to Christ. He needed more time for reflection. Well, as we look at this from the outward appearance, perhaps Paul was right. You never put a man necessarily back in the pulpit immediately after he's fallen. There needs to be time of confession and repentance and restitution. And yet we happen to live in a day when it seems like it doesn't matter what a minister does. I mean, as long as he can get a congregation and he's popular, just put him in the pulpit. Well, I want to have you to realize that the Bible teaches there is such a thing as purity. A minister needs to be in the right place, spiritually speaking, and so do leaders within the church. Paul could have been right. But on the other hand, in reality, the unsung hero here is Barnabas. He was willing to give Mark another chance. And I want you to realize that it is impossible to separate Mark's recovery from the opportunity that Barnabas gave him. Thank God for the Barnabases that stand beside us when we fall and we get up and we go on and it's real confession and we really mean it and we want God to use us. But whatever the case, the Lord overruled and brought progression out of dissension. Because of such contention over Mark, two missionary journeys instead of one were formed. Barnabas and Mark went to Cyprus, and Paul and Silas went to Syria, and eventually throughout all of Europe. But the important thing I want you to catch in the story is this. It's the fact that Mark recovered from his failure. And we know that because Barnabas would not have taken him if he hadn't have. And there was restoration. And there was restitution. And there was repentance. And there was forgiveness. Now let's take a closer look at Mark's recovery. There came a time within 2 years that God convicted him of his failure for deserting his two friends. He could not sleep as he thought of the difficulties that he had caused these two missionaries by walking out on them. And you know that always happens when the Spirit of God gets a hold of a man who is willing to repent. First of all comes conviction. And Mark was convicted. And perhaps his prayer went something like this from his beaten soul. Lord, forgive me for retreating from my responsibility. I realize the cause that I have given to the work of Christ. I repent of all of that. Please make my record clean and give me the strength to bear any cross and endure any pain for your kingdom. So what happened? Well, what happens when any one of us repent and turn back? God forgave him. And not only that, but God recommissioned him once again to missionary activity. I want to tell you something. Only the redeeming grace and the healing love of Jesus Christ can do such a thing. Maybe you've experienced it somewhere, sometime in your life. When God gets a hold of you in a backslidden condition and you repent and you turn to Him and He fills you with His Holy Spirit. And the fact remains that His return was triumphant and magnificent. Because not only did Barnabas recognize the sincerity of his repentance by taking him on his second missionary trip, but according to the words of our text, Paul did the same thing. You can read it there in the statements that I have read. Bring him with you. He is helpful. He is useful to me. If you find yourself on this Sunday with the realization that, like Mark, you have shamefully failed your Savior, listen, my dear friend, the way is open for you to repent. And you can confess that failure. And you can turn to Christ for forgiveness and restoration. That can happen to anyone who is willing to allow Jesus Christ to do something for them. We have looked at Mark from three different perspectives. In closing, let us consider this joyful thought about him. I call it the ministry of reinstatement. We shall never know the whole story of Mark's return, the how, the when, the where, that he made his way back to God. The Bible is silent. But I want you to note this. By the time that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Colossians, healing has occurred. And Mark is with Paul during his first Roman imprisonment. Listen to what we read in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings. So does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. What a picture. He made his way back into fellowship with Christ. He made his way back into fellowship with Barnabas. And he made his way back into fellowship with Paul. Now let's go to our text as we bring our message down to a conclusion. You have it there, over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Notice what Paul says. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Can't you see? In those words, the high tribute that Paul gave to this man who failed so miserably, but who was rescued so gloriously. As we read these words of Paul to young Timothy, we find now that the Apostle Paul is in Rome. And now he's an old man. And he is waiting to be martyred for his faith. Weak in strength. He is patiently waiting for God to call him home. Home to heaven. It's been over 10 years now since Mark departed and left them and deserted them. And of all of Paul's closest friends, only Luke, the beloved physician, was with him. And it was under these circumstances that Paul wrote to young Timothy. And he requested Timothy to bring Mark with him. And the question is raised, what was the outcome of John Mark's reinstatement? The answer is, it was an astonishing and astounding success. Mark became a teacher, later an evangelist, later an apostle, and some years later he became a martyr for his faith in Jesus Christ. He was an assistant and traveling companion to Paul, Barnabas, and Peter. He faithfully stayed with Paul until the end of his life. He was acclaimed by Paul as a vital help in the growth of the early church. He was the author of the Gospel of Mark, the first account of the life of Christ put to writing. And on this Sunday, he is spoken of throughout the world. Perhaps like Mark, you are haunted by some past failure. You have wounded Christ by the way that you have lived. And you have retreated from God and deserted your responsibility. And you've lost the courage of your convictions. But my friend, there's hope for you. What Christ did for Mark, he can do for you and for me. He put out his rescuing hand. And Mark held on, and he was rescued. But you've got to receive it. You've got to take his rescuing hand. You've got to appropriate it. You've got to apply it. And when Jesus Christ did that, he turned his life around. And he went back to fulfill his uncompleted task. John Mark experienced the joy of recovery. The recovery of a runaway. That's what God does. If we're willing, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you are. It really doesn't matter this morning where you are spiritually speaking. God is seeking for you. He's the hound of heaven. And he would like to trace you down and track you out this morning and get you in a corner so you can't run any longer and say, stop running, and let me have control of your life. You know, that's the way to live the Christian life. I would cover that for every single person. We happen to be in a day, the Christianity of the New Testament today is a long sea mile from that which Jesus laid down upon the pages of the New Testament. Man, I know Christians today, they're in and out, they're up and down. They're happy on Monday, sad by Friday. They come and they go. They're saved and then it seems like they're lost. Wouldn't you like this morning to have an even, steadfast, going forward type of Christianity, discipleship? It's yours for the taking. You don't have to be running. You don't have to be going to every conference, reading every book, except the Bible. Just realize once and for all that Mark, when he came to the realization that Jesus Christ is all that he needed. All that he needed. And when you and I come to that place and we realize if we've got Christ, and then we have him in the person of the Holy Spirit where we're filled to overflowing, it doesn't matter whether we're in the hospital. We're facing death. No matter what we're going through. We're the victors. You heard me preach on that a few weeks ago. That we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let God have control of your life today. Don't make any decisions without, first of all, bringing Him into every decision that you will ever make. And from that will be the type of life that Jesus Christ would covet for each and every one of us. Shall we pray?